Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners.
The following is an experience sharing article entitled Always Placing DAFA as My First Priority by a Falun DAFA practitioner in China. The article was published on the Minghui website on July the 20th, 2023. I began to practice Falun DAFA in 1997. In over 20 years of cultivation, DAFA changed me from someone who was narrow-minded and only wanted personal gain and fame to a broad-minded practitioner who considers others first. Words cannot express my gratitude to Master Li, the founder of Falun DAFA. Master always told disciples to study the Fa. I kept Master's words in mind and never dared to slack off on studying the Fa. Studying the Fa is my must-do routine every day. I get up at 3:40 a.m. every morning to do the exercises. After sending righteous thoughts at 6 o'clock, when my mind is clear and the environment is relatively quiet, I read a lecture until 8 o'clock. Every night I recite the Fa from memory, read Master's Fa teachings, and go to bed after sending righteous thoughts at midnight. I have memorized and recited Duan Falun 7 times. Through memorizing the Fa, I became aware of many of my attachments. Many times, as soon as a bad thought came out, a passage of Master's Fa appeared in my mind, and then I could recognize my attachments and restrain myself. Part 1. Letting go of my resentment for my husband. My husband had been working in another town for 10 years. He never cared for the family, nor did he give me or our son money. I lost my job due to the persecution when my son was still at school, so I did part-time work to support my son and myself. I often needed to carry heavy items, such as bags of rice and flour, to our sixth-floor apartment. I did all this alone, even when my husband was home. He and I became increasingly distanced, and I developed a strong sense of resentment for him. Whenever I met someone who mentioned him, I would say, "If I didn't practice cultivation, I would have divorced him long ago." My husband sometimes came home for a few days during the New Year holiday. I tried to explain the truth about DAFA to him, but he didn't want to listen. It got to the point that I no longer wanted to talk to him. A fellow practitioner once remarked, "You're saving everyone except your husband." I realized right away it was Master who said this through the mouth of this practitioner, and that I must save my husband and let go of my resentment. It was easy to say but hard to do. I told myself that I'm a cultivator and must let go of this attachment. The next time he returned for vacation during the new year, I tried to be considerate and treated him well. Gradually, the resentment faded away. My husband later returned home and no longer worked out of town. I was used to being alone, but I knew he came back to hear the truth. I'm a cultivator and have a predestined relationship with him, so I must save him. Through studying the Fa, memorizing the Fa, and going through a lot of suffering, I was able to let go of my resentment. He had been away from home for many years, which was difficult for him, so I tried my best to treat him well. Our son did not have any feelings for his father and didn't want to talk to him. I told my son, "Your father has gone through a lot of hardship. It would be a pity if he does not know the truth about DAFA. It's our duty to save him." Nowadays, my family is harmonious. My husband started to care about our family. I am really grateful to Master. If I didn't practice DAFA, I wouldn't have been able to let go of my resentment, and our family might not have stayed together. Part 2. Producing DAFA materials for 18 years. I know that saving sentient beings is really important for DAFA practitioners, so I have been making materials explaining the truth about the persecution since 2004. With Master's compassionate protection, I was able to make it through many disturbances and difficulties. At the end of 2004, a coordinator asked me if I could make materials for our entire area. I had just been released from a detention centre, and I was under a lot of pressure because my family was traumatised by the persecution. But as soon as I heard that fellow practitioners didn't have truth clarification materials, I felt a sense of responsibility from the bottom of my heart. Maybe that was a prehistoric vow I made. To avoid more pressure on my family, I rented another house to make the materials. It was very difficult, as very few practitioners had experience with technology, and it was not easy for us to communicate with one another for safety reasons. I was not familiar with computers and printers. The house did not have broadband, so I used a network card to access the internet, which was slow. Downloading the needed materials became a big problem. Practitioners came to pick up their materials every Friday. Sometimes I had trouble getting online and could not download the weekly magazines and other materials, so the practitioners had to wait. It made me very anxious, and I wanted to cry. I begged Master for help, and then I was able to download the files. Master has always been by my side, taking care of his disciple. Whenever I did not know how to do certain things on the computer, I sometimes just kept clicking the mouse randomly, and it would work. Initially, I could only print leaflets and brochures. I can now burn DVDs, make Dharma amulets, and print booklets of the 9 commentaries on the Communist Party, as well as Dharma books. Whatever was needed to save people, I would produce it. I had a part-time job in the morning and printed the materials in the afternoon. I often had to leave my 10-year-old son alone at home. As we finished lunch one day, he asked, "Are you leaving again, Mum?" I was heartbroken. For the past few years, I had not spent much time with my son and hadn't even brought him to a park once. I really felt sorry for him. However, it seemed my son knew what I was thinking. "Mom, how can you do a good job in saving people if you keep thinking of me?" I understood that Master saw my sentimental attachment and said this through my son. Part 3. Miraculous experiences with my printer. I wanted to buy a new printer. Since another practitioner also wanted one, we bought 2. When they were delivered to my home, I thought, I will take the one that prints better. So I tried both and kept the better one for myself. The next day, I turned on my old printer, which always worked fine, and found it stopped working. My first thought was to ask a practitioner to repair it. My second thought was that I was selfish the day before, as I kept the better printer for myself. When I realized I was wrong, the old printer worked again. It was amazing. Another time, the red ink cartridge in my printer broke. I had a reserve cartridge and planned to replace the broken one the next day. A practitioner then came to my home and asked if I had an extra red ink cartridge, since another practitioner's cartridge broke in the middle of printing. My thought was for the other practitioner, how could that practitioner print without a red ink cartridge? I immediately gave up my reserve cartridge. The next day, when I was about to start printing, I remembered that my cartridge was broken and wondered how I could print. I turned on the printer without much thought. Surprisingly, my red ink cartridge worked as normal. Master saw that I considered others first and fixed the broken cartridge. I am so grateful to Master. Another practitioner helped me produce materials for over 10 years. She was older, but she carried heavy reams of paper upstairs like a young person. When the printer had problems, she contacted the technical practitioners for a repair. At that time, I mainly made the materials and she distributed them to other practitioners. Due to the persecution, this practitioner was illegally sentenced to prison. so I had to do both the producing and distributing of materials. I skipped lunch many times. It was often dark when I got home, and my son was hungry. I hurried to cook, but he did not complain and supported me in what I was doing. Sometimes, I also helped fellow practitioners purchase supplies and did some simple maintenance on their equipment. When practitioners asked for help, as long as I could do it, I would do it. I also cooperated with practitioners to go out and hang banners and posters to explain the truth about Darfa's goodness. Since practitioners are one body, the evil is afraid when we cooperate. Well, on one occasion, banners that slandered Darfa appeared in our area. They were everywhere, and all of them were near surveillance cameras. There were also boards that slandered Darfa inside a glass window display near my community. A few of us discussed the situation. We knew we could not let sentient beings be poisoned, and that we must safeguard Darfa. We went out at night and asked Master for help and protection. In a few days, all the banners were taken down. The local practitioners cooperated very well. Even elderly practitioners in their 80s came out to help by sending righteous thoughts. No one was attached to themselves, and we only had one thought: save sentient beings and safeguard Darfa. Soon afterward, all of the practitioners in our area came out and looked to see if there were any slanderous banners near where they lived. If there were any, they removed them. In a short time, all the banners hanging around the city were removed. I heard that a practitioner took down 8 banners by himself. Looking back at the ups and downs of the past years, although I was swamped and tired at times, I was very happy and fulfilled. A fellow practitioner said, "Your generation has spent all your youth here." Yes, I was 30 when I obtained the FA, and now I'm in my 50s. I have never travelled, watched TV or movies, hardly ever went to shopping malls or parks, and had no entertainment as regular people do. I have been doing the 3 things asked of practitioners every day, but I have no complaints or regrets. It is such an honour to be chosen by Master to become a Darfa practitioner, which all divine beings in the universe envy. No matter how long the road ahead is, I will be steadfast in my cultivation, complete my mission, and return to my true home with Master. My environment has improved a lot, so I moved the printing site to my home. The internet here is fast, and it is very convenient to download materials. More fellow practitioners are now making Darfa materials, and I'm not as busy as before. My financial situation has also improved, as I have a pension and my son started working. Darfa has given me so much. Master has given me so much.
The following is an experience sharing article entitled "Finding the Truth About Myself, My Enlightenment After Reading Master's Recent 2 Articles" by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China. The article was published on the Minghui website on September 10th, 2023. I felt very guilty after reading Master's 2 most recent articles. Although what Master mentioned in the articles focused on the damaging behavior done by a few overseas practitioners, since the articles have been published on the Minghui website, all Dafa practitioners should look at themselves to see if they have the same issues. Part 1: Behaviors That Undermine the FA. Master pointed out the manifestations and results of similar behavior in Duan Falun. Master controls everything and knows everything. Early on, Master warned us of all the things that would happen, but we couldn't enlighten to them. I looked within and asked myself, did I ever resent Master? Of course not. Did I ever doubt him? The answer to that was definitely yes. When Master postponed the end of the FA rectification period multiple times, due to our imperfect cultivation, My first reaction was to think, has the time changed again? I shouldn't doubt him for even a second. I knew that Master must have his reasons, that I could not reach consummation at my current Xingxing level, and that I hadn't saved the sentient beings I should have saved. A genuine practitioner who believes in Master 100% will absolutely not have a shadow of a doubt. What Master wants is what his disciples want. We should carry out whatever Master has arranged for us, simply and without any hesitation. Those who do that are qualified disciples. Doubt is the beginning of disbelief. As Master is giving a stick warning to those who undermine the Fa, we should rectify our impure hearts and have absolute confidence in Master. Part 2. Our attitude toward the Minghui website. The Minghui website is a pure land for us who walk the path of the divine. I don't need to restate its importance and uniqueness. I realized I spent far less time reading Minghui articles than I did reading articles on the Epoch Times and NTD TV websites. I only skimmed those articles about the persecution. Master's recent 2 articles also woke me up. I didn't recognize the importance of Minghui and didn't put my heart into reading the articles there. The reports about the persecution are closely related to saving sentient beings. How could I not care about them? At the very least, we can send forth righteous thoughts to eliminate the evil in a certain city that the Minghui website mentions. Being oblivious to everything but my daily activities is not the behavior of a genuine practitioner. Master has mentioned the importance and uniqueness of the Minghui website in his Fa lectures multiple times. How we regard the Minghui website and how much we put our hearts into reading its articles is a reflection of our true cultivation state. It's a requirement that practitioners visit the Minghui website. However, I spent 80% of my time focusing on national and world news and other information that had nothing to do with my cultivation. It's now time to let go of this curiosity. Part 3. Attitude about projects that are saving sentient beings and validating the Fa. Every genuine Dafa practitioner has many inspiring and moving cultivation stories to tell, covering the past 24 years. Every bit of it is admirable and valuable. Before I read Master's articles, I had the thought that I had contributed a great deal to Dafa. Now I realize that I was showing off and seeking rewards. Master has arranged everything for us, including our surrounding environment. He has even told us about who will appear in our environment, the tools we need to save sentient beings, and everything else we need. We only need to take action. Why do we have to show off and be arrogant? Master could complete the Fa rectification with a wave of his hand if he wished. If he wanted the people of the world to change their attitudes about Dafa, he could do it in an instant. So why did he put so much effort into arranging all these things for us to do? He wants to empower us so that we can save the sentient beings in the universe we represent. All that Master bears during this endeavor is for us. We will never know how much Master has sacrificed for us and how much trauma he has sustained to eliminate our karma. We practitioners should be more enlightened. What we are doing is only what we should be doing. We shouldn't have any show-off mentality or become complacent. We should always think of how to get rid of our attachments and how to save more sentient beings. We should return to being humble and pure. We are still filled with arrogance and continue to be self-centered, even after we have cultivated for so many years. Without Master and the Fa, we and our sentient beings would have become particles of dust floating in the universe. Part 4. Do not become affected by a few people. As I have discussed, Master foretold that those few people he mentioned in his articles would appear. The sand is nothing compared to true gold. Master said in Fa teaching given at the Metropolitan New York Fa Conference, quote, "If there really was only one person who succeeded in cultivation, I would make him the cosmos," unquote. What Master wants are the qualities of pure righteousness and pure truthfulness, nothing fake. Our first priority is to cultivate ourselves well. Part 5, Regarding Genuine Cultivation. My personal understanding of genuine cultivation is that we should cultivate every thought and action. How many attachments are hidden in our everyday conversations? There are many that we are unaware of. Here is one example. In her old age, my mother developed a hearing problem. She couldn't hear me no matter how loudly I spoke. My first reaction was impatience, so instead of coming over to her, I just shouted across the room. If I could suppress this demon nature, walk over to her, and repeat myself patiently, that would be genuine cultivation. Here's another example of cultivating our every action. Every time I ate dumplings, I would indulge myself and pour lots of vinegar and chili oil on them. It became automatic and a habit. I recently discovered that when I am able to let go of an attachment, especially one that had persisted for many years, I could study the Fa really well and understand the deeper meanings behind the words. It was no longer like before when I was not focused and regarded studying the Fa as a task. Master has said many times that we should improve our Xingxing. When my Xingxing improved, the Fa showed its meaning to me. If any practitioner feels that she or he cannot really study the Fa or enlighten to anything, please think about it and see if there are serious attachments within your everyday habits. Please try to let one of them go, and you will feel the Fa come into your heart as you study it. As you keep letting go of your attachments, you will see the deeper levels of the Fa manifest. This is my recent enlightenment after studying Master's recent articles. Please point out anything inappropriate.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.